Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and part 2 of our study of Revelation chapter 5 verses 1 through 6 titled The Lion and the Lamb.
And they turn it into this, heavenly by and by, or we're going to float on clouds and play harps. Well, we might. I won't be opposed to that. I think it'd be fun. You ever thought about floating on a cloud and playing a harp, Carl? We were driving in clouds this morning and I was thinking about that. How many of you drove in the clouds this morning with that dense fog?
Yeah,
I'd like to have been floating and playing a harp. That would have been fine with me. But it says it's reserved in heaven for you. Well, you look at the rest of the scripture, what's in heaven? The title deed to the earth. Where did that scroll come from we're reading about? Where did that book come from? Heaven. What else is in heaven? Well, you're going to see when we get down to the end of Revelation, something comes out of heaven called New Jerusalem, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. That's what Jesus said in John 14, I have gone to prepare a place for you. That's what's reserved for you in heaven. There might be some clouds and harps, fine, but there's a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Amen. Now, if that didn't make the little hair on the end of your back, on your back stand up, you're asleep. Because I'm studying this, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I just start to get all, you know. That's why I said, if I was ever going to get slain in the spirits during Bible study. Now, back what he said in building on verse 1, verses 2 and 3, back in Revelation 5. And it starts by saying, and I saw a strong angel. Now, I don't know that there's any such thing as a weak angel. But I think, John is describing what he's seeing. And he's, what I mentioned a little while ago, these are strong, these are massive. Angels are huge. Now, they can come in the form as men. But they can come in other forms too. But it seems like in their normal state, they are strong, large, powerful, intimidating is a word. Read verses 2 and 3 with me. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. That's an amazing thing. Why? No man in heaven, or on earth, or under the earth, which is, by the way, a place called hell. As it is written, why couldn't he find a man? Why couldn't he find among the saints in heaven? Why weren't they worthy? Because they are only there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. They are only there because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They're not worthy. They are made worthy. But their worthiness lies in Jesus. And on earth, there's a lot of self-righteous people, but there's none righteous, no, not one. And so, John looks... Now, you read this in passing, you don't really pay attention, you think it sounds almost silly. You're just reading this, and he says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. You have to understand where he's at. He is in the Spirit, in heaven, and he is seeing everything. Everything's laid open for him. Mm-hmm. And it looks like there's no one that can open this book. And this book is the key to the inheritance. He understands what he's seeing. He's seeing reality. He's seeing the most important thing in your future, in my future. It's our home. It's our future. It's our eternal life. Martha has a little shirt on and says, eternal life is better. Amen?
Yes.
But if there's no eternal life, where are you going to go? the worst of it would be hell. The best would be this life here with all the sickness. And you just get older and older and older with more sickness and more sickness. And Jenny was talking about how the older you get, the harder it is to sleep. You sleep more than 3 or 4 hours and you wake up hurting. Wait a minute, I was asleep, man. Who's been beating me? Why am I, you know? Imagine if that just kept going on. You just kept getting older and older to the point where you just lay there. You can't move. You'd weep too. And that's what John is seeing. That's what he's experiencing. You say, why not angels? Because it doesn't pertain to angels. This isn't about angels. Angels didn't sin. Angels have not been redeemed. Angels were created innocent, perfect, holy, unless they leave their first estate. Otherwise, it's not about salvation for them. And no man is worthy. No man was found worthy. So the bottom line is, without Jesus, we are eternally lost. You wonder why so often in the book of Revelation, so often that in all the heavenly visions, the cry is, you are holy, you are worthy. Through eternity, we'll never get tired of that song, folks. We will sing that song and never get tired of it. Without Jesus, the whole universe is doomed. Just let that settle in. Without Jesus, the whole universe is doomed. And that's the message you're getting right now in Revelation 5. We need to appreciate Jesus. We need to really allow ourselves to appreciate. We take Him for granted, folks, and with my hand up, first to confess it, take Him for granted. The old song says, without Him, I would... Huh?
I could do nothing.
I could do nothing. You're singing the right song. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Yes. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, praise God, I'm saved. We need to add that to the book. Amen? Read verse 5 now. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now there's a lot in this verse. I'm going to take a few minutes just to talk about it. We talked about the elders previously, and they're speaking to John and they're saying, weep not. Think about that scene. The elders are speaking to John and saying, weep not. And they say, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know where that comes from? Is back in Genesis.
Right.
And I want to tell you, if you want to be caught up on Revelation, you better read Genesis and read Genesis. Genesis is full of information that will help you understand Revelation. I have Catholic friends and a few Protestant friends, a couple of Lutheran friends and some others who have told me, man, you guys act like you know that book of Revelation and you're just crazy. There's no way anybody can know that. And I said, the only reason you say that is because you don't read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't carry Bibles to their church services. They don't have Bible studies. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
But
don't carry their Bibles anymore, period.
And then what they do carry is a, you know, living NIV or something like that. But if you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you can just do that by reading 3 chapters a day. You go through it every year. The more you read that, the more you're going to see the connections.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis 49, there's a prophecy. Remember I mentioned whenever Jacob was putting his hand on Ephraim. But this is his prophecy over the 12, his own 12 sons.
Right.
And verse 9, he says to Judah, he says, Judah is a lion's whelp, a pup. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Watch this. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, that's Messiah, come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. That sounds a bit cryptic until you really look at it and see that that's a pretty good assessment of the future.
Yeah. And if you go through Judah's line, you see like David.
It comes right up to not only the time of the Babylonian captivity, but even after they came back, they remained the records in the hall of records in Jerusalem, in which they could establish the legal heir to the throne. And that's why you have two genealogies. In Matthew, you have the genealogy of Joseph, who comes through David and Solomon and even Jeconiah,
right,
all the way up to Jesus Christ, or his adopted father, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Jeconiah, though, was cursed.
Yep.
And God took his name off of him and started calling him Coniah. Took Yah off of there. And said that after, was it the third generation, which I think was Zedekiah, he would be the last to sit on the throne from Jeconiah's seed. So Jesus couldn't be the physical offspring through that line, but he had to be through that line by adoption in order to be an heir. That's why you go over to Luke and you read that genealogy, and it's the genealogy of Mary,
right,
making Jesus the genetic offspring of David, not through Solomon, through Nathan, one of David's other sons. And then it jumps. Joseph goes through Solomon all the way up to Joseph, or David, from David up to Joseph in Matthew. And then in Luke, it jumps over from David to Nathan and all the way up to Mary's father. And I think his name is Heli. But anyway, that's getting into the details of it. But here you have Judah is a lion's whelp, but he will then grow up to become this lion, and the Messiah was known as this lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, you might notice who else is called a lion. Anybody?
Oh, Satan is a roaring lion seeking.
You say, whoa. Satan's a counterfeit. That's right. As a lion. And, well, that's exactly right. Now, that's what you have to watch for, folks. It's that close. The Spirit of God is easily counterfeited by the spirit of Antichrist. Just because something is spiritual doesn't mean it's of God. And the only way you know the difference is the book in front of you. That book. So it goes on in verses 11 and 12. Says, now I'm just going to quote this because, again, in some cryptic language, and yet you can see how it's pointing right to what we see in the book of Revelation. But it starts with what happened when he was on earth and he fulfilled the prophecy of Daniel. It says, binding his foal under the vine and his ass's colt under the choice vine. Remember when he came in on the foal of an ass? Hail is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, and they put the palms down. But then we jump right 2,000 plus years later, and it says, and he washed his garments in wine. You're going to see Jesus with his vesture dipped in blood, his clothes in the blood of grapes. That's symbolic of blood. His eyes shall be red with wine. Why? Because we talked about this Sunday. At the rapture, he's the rescuer. At the return, it's vengeance. Red with wine. And his teeth white with milk. Those are all, like I said, some cryptic terminology referring to what we're reading here in the book of Revelation.
The expression, so mad you're seeing red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fun study to do. See how many of our sayings come from that right there.
Put them in their place.
Seeing red.
Spit of your teeth.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a Ezekiel says, if you don't warn the one going in the way of wickedness, there's blood on your hands.
Yep.
You ever heard somebody being caught red-handed?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
on and on that goes. He's also called the root of David. In Isaiah 11:10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Now, who's Jesse?
David's father.
Mentioned Boaz a minute ago. Mm-hmm. How many of you read the book of Ruth?
Yes.
Boaz took Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth became David's grandmother. And Ruth and Boaz gave birth to Obed. And then Obed gave birth. He and his wife brought Jesse into the world. That's how they're all this. You know, most of those books you read in the Old Testament, it's all about getting Jesus into the world. Some people say, "I've read that book. I don't see nothing where anything to do with Jesus." Well, like, did you know that's his great, 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 great grandma right there you're talking about? Who? Rahab.
Yeah.
Rahab the harlot? Yeah.
And that's where the grace shows.
You want? I've had people say, "Why in the world did they put that story of that harlot? That means she's a prostitute." I said, "Because it's in the genealogy of Jesus."
And not only that, it shows the grace of God.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, by contrast with the root of Jesse and the root of David is this counterfeit root. Now, get your pen out, because I only recently learned of this. But this is, the more I've looked at it, it is a clear reference to the counterfeit root. We just talked about how Satan counterfeits. As we study Revelation, we're going to talk about the counterfeits, because we live in the age of counterfeits.
Yes.
And there is a counterfeit root out of the devil to come. In Isaiah 14:29.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Isaiah 14:29. I'm going to give you a minute to turn there. I'm telling you, you should mark this, because you're going to kick yourself. One of these days you're going to want to find this verse and you're going to say, "Oh man, I wish I'd wrote that down." Isaiah 14:29. Isaiah 14:9. Now read that with me. "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina." Now stop right there. Isaiah is giving you the prophecy of the end times. How did he know that they were going to call Israel Palestine? You will rarely find that in the Bible. It's Judea. It's Israel. But he's talking about a time when Israel's under attack. This is, by the way, you might put a note in your margin to Revelation 12, because you're going to see this played out in Revelation 12 when we get there.
Oh, yes.
"Rejoice not thou, whole Palestine. What did both major parties do just recently? Both calling for a Palestinian state.
Yep.
Don't get me going on that. "Because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root," not the root of David, "the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." Now, I believe you've got the unholy trinity right there. You've got the serpent. Who's that?
Satan.
The cockatrice and the flying serpent. I believe that's a reference to the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, that's too cryptic for me to be dogmatic, but it sure does fit. And we're talking about the Antichrist will be this serpent's root, the cockatrice. And he then, and you will see it in Revelation, the Antichrist steps up, and then there comes this false prophet. Yeah, the counterfeiting. And this false prophet's going to do things. You say he flies? Hey, he's going to either resurrect the Antichrist, or at least pull off a real good counterfeit when he receives a wound to the head. He's going to do signs and wonders that said it would deceive the very elect if that were possible. Paul compares it to Jannes and Jambres, who were the magicians in Egypt. Yeah. It's an amazing thing there. And finally there in verse 5 it says that this lion and this root has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And as we said, that each seal is judgment, and we'll see this as we study, each seal is a judgment upon those who serve the serpent. And folks, that will include Israel. Israel will make a covenant with death and with hell in the tribulation period time. And those seals are going to be judgment. That's why the church isn't here. I'll say it again, Revelation 3, it says that this will come upon the whole world. All who are on the earth are going to suffer. And even the believers during that time, they're going to lose their heads. There will be 144,000 sealed, 12,000 from all 12 tribes. We'll see in a couple of chapters from now. And one more verse. Revelation 5, 6 says, "And I beheld," read that with me, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, we made mention of those seven spirits already on two other occasions. But this, remember, is the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're seeing there Jesus as a lamb that had been slain. Why? That's how He gained the victory to open the seals. That's what He accomplished on the cross and coming out of the tomb and winning the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And it says He has seven horns and seven eyes. And just want to say that there's people who have attempted to picture that, and it's just downright creepy. So I didn't even put one on there for you to look at, because I don't know what that looks like. I the description, He says He has seven eyes and seven horns. The imagery is clear, though the imagery is also mind-boggling, so that's why I didn't put the picture up there. But it says He has seven horns and seven eyes. Horns signify complete power and authority, and seven horns is complete perfect power and authority. And He had seven eyes, which signify the omniscience and omnipresence of God. The Lamb is the one we know as God manifest in the flesh. The Lamb has the attributes of deity. And so all those who deny His deity are denying the Lamb. And if He's not God, He couldn't have died for your sins. If He's not God, He could not have raised His own corpse from the grave. Yes, the Father raised Him. Yes, the Holy Spirit raised Him. But so did Jesus also say, "I will raise this temple up. Tear this temple down, I will raise it up."
Yeah, He gave up His ghost.
That's right. He chose the moment to die. He gave up the ghost. He chose to raise from the dead. He had the power over life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That was either true or insanity.
Yes.
I believe it's true. He is the resurrection and the life. And so that's, did you get that? I won't cut anybody off there. And that's where we'll stop for tonight. I mean, just gets me going. I could keep going and on and on and on and on. Wonderful book, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't mean just Revelation. We went to Isaiah. We went to Genesis. We went all over the book. Amen. And folks, if you start reading that inheritance, and when you see that word inheritance, you realize that's talking about your glorified body. That's talking about the new heaven. That's talking about the new earth. That's talking about the new Jerusalem. You read every time you see about your inheritance, you realize that's what it's talking about. You'll get excited every time you read about your inheritance, and you'll see it frequently. But it's all because of Jesus. Amen. I hope that's some of you. I don't know. I can't read minds or hearts. I can only stand up and teach. But don't take it for granted. Let yourself sit and really think about what Jesus means to you and the alternative without Him.
That to end.